Okay, find our seats once again. Want to welcome everybody here today. My heart's so filled with faith and joy today from the heaven realm, from King Jesus, and I know I sense that in you guys too. Welcome everybody joining us online in our live video feed. Glad you're joining us from home. May the power and presence of the Holy Spirit fill you, fill your whatever room you're in there, your home. We're going to have a little bit different format today. And if you're a visitor today, just recognize that maybe this is the day God's ordained for you for something special for you today. And we're going to Brenda's two-minute inspirational talk for young adults. Where are you, Brenda? There she is. Isn't she pretty today? Yeah, she is.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Golly, that was fast. Okay, I have a verse. This is about Hagar. You can just leave it up there for a while, Melissa. And the story of Abraham and Sarah, we know the story. You should know the story in Genesis chapter 16. Abraham is promised a child, and he and Sarah just keep getting older and older and older. So Sarah, the wife of Abraham, tries to help out God's plan. Abraham, you go hang out with my maid, Hagar, and maybe I'll have a child through her. It was a bad plan. It was not God's plan. But so, yes, Hagar becomes pregnant and then kind of despises Sarah. Like, I got the baby, you don't, you know. So I might be a slave girl, but I'm pregnant. Anyway, it was like not a good day for Sarah. And Sarah was angry, sent her away. She mistreated her, and Hagar fled from her, fled into the wilderness. And she's stuck out in the wilderness. And God comes to her and says, Hagar, what are you doing? What are you doing? And she's like, I ran away from my mistress. And he says, go back, submit to her. You're going to have awesome, you know, you're going to be the mother of many. And he gives a prophecy about Ishmael. Anyway, Hagar calls him the God who sees her. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? That's enough. So I'm just going to pray, because I like to try to keep this to 2 minutes. But wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can know that he is the God who sees us. El Roy, the God who sees us. In fact, he's the living one who sees us. So, Father, I pray for us. I pray for the young people who are starting out their lives, learning how to live their lives from a young age. And I pray that all of us will understand that when we talk to you, you're listening. Wherever we are, we can't get away from you. You know our thoughts from afar. Thank you, God. You are the God who sees us. We are seen by you, and you love us and you help us always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brenda. Wow. God who sees us. Hooray for the God who sees us. Boy, that's invigorating and energizing, isn't it? Jesus has a great surprise for you today. I'm going to go to my teaching first here, before the surprise. These are a couple thoughts from Bill Johnson, real important thoughts. I can only please one person per day. Today is not your day. Tomorrow's not looking good either. It's a sign on a church reader board. Deacon Joe, a real sign. This is a real sign. Sign on a church reader board. Deacon Joe Battle's funeral has been canceled. He's alive after all. I don't know why. Communication isn't always good in church life. Well, and here's one. Last night, I lay in bed looking up at the stars in the sky and thought to myself, oh my goodness, where did my ceiling and my roof go? I thought that was great. Think about that. I don't know that I've ever enjoyed so much a series as our Lord's Prayer series. It's sometimes when you study something as a teacher and preacher, man, it opens up to you in a way that refreshes your own heart and soul. And I feel that way about this time, this 40 days of prayer before Easter, special prayer, fasting on Wednesdays up till supper time, and it's been a good time, and it continues to be a good time. And so much appreciate Jeremiah Pickerel's message last week, and Brian Paul's message before that about Brian Paul, his part of the Lord's Prayer, and Jeremiah's concluding the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to do this time a brief summary of the whole teaching that we've been over. And then we're going to have actually a surprise prayer summit. And hold steady. No one leave the building, please. No one's going to make you pray out loud. But you're going to be rocked and blessed by what happens with the lab portion of our Lord's Prayer time. By the way, if you are a visitor here today, definitely think of this as a divine appointment. This is the Sunday you're here. And God has something special, special, special for you today. And we have something special for you at the welcome table afterwards. We have a present for you. Drop a connection card off there. Afterwards, we have a little present for you there. And thank you for being with us today. One of the young moms, Joanna, mentioned that on Facebook that she's teaching her little girl, Jaslyn, the Lord's Prayer. I love that. And I know some of you other parents have been doing that. And I saw this quote, and Lena Bartell told me I could share this. For the last couple of weeks, Lena writes, I've been teaching Riley, your little girl, the Lord's Prayer. This was a gift that was taught to me as well when I was young by my beautiful Aunt Loretta. Both of my beautiful aunties, Evelyn and Loretta, always reflected the true spirit of Christ when I was little. Not only could you sense it, but you could see it. The bright, shining light of Jesus Christ. And it made a huge impact on my heart. That's what's happening with our children right now in church life. There is huge impressionism going on in their deepest emotions and spirits in their God connection, because you as parents and grandparents are serving that. And our children's ministries are going after that and serving, partnering with you to serve that in our kids. I'd like to have us do the declaration of the Lord's Prayer one final time together. It's a declaration we've been doing the last few weeks. So fill your lungs with air and your heart with faith. And let's say this loudly all together. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen will never have the same meaning to me after Jeremiah's amazing message on amen last week. I have a few talking points today. The first one is about prayer, about the Lord's Prayer. When we consider the Lord's Prayer, let's pray obediently. Let's remember that it wasn't some preacher that said, hey, we should be praying the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't primarily our auntie or our parents. It's Jesus. Jesus himself. This declaration we just read is prefaced in verse 9, Jesus Christ himself said to his disciples, do we want to be his disciples? Amen. In this manner, therefore, pray. It's in the imperative mood. Imperative mood in the Greek means it's a directive. It's a command. It's like, do this. In this manner, pray. And then he goes into the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So Jesus himself is not suggesting it to us. He's saying this, if we want to be disciples of Jesus, he's saying this to his disciples. He's saying if we really want to be disciples of Jesus, I mean, it's not the only way to pray. And we're called of God to pray without ceasing, to let our requests be made known with thanksgiving. And I reminded you last time I talked that the great healing revival of Smith Wigglesworth said, I seldom pray for more than half an hour, but I seldom go for half an hour without praying. And I have found myself invigorated, inspired all the more. I've always believed in prayer, but in this 40 days before Easter, this quote from Max Lucado, where he says, everything goes better when we pray over it. Everything. Everything goes better when we pray over it. Everything. But in all our prayers, let's include these, the Lord's Prayer, not as some kind of a magical incantation where we just say the prayer per se, but recognize, although that is a blessing in and of itself, it's so potent, powerful, and supernatural in its effect. But let's use the Lord's Prayer as categories. I mentioned last time I talked that just like Paul knows this, he's been working on my PT Cruiser some lately, and I focus on, does it have good tires? Is there gas in it? Is the oil changed? But Paul's telling me, you know what, there's other things that are necessary to check once in a while. Air filter, transmission fluid, and a few other things that I'm spacing right now. I'm sure they're there. But, we can gravitate towards certain things in prayer, but the Lord Jesus is saying, hey, you want a well-rounded prayer life? This is what I'm commanding you to do. I'm directing you. This is it, man. These seven areas that we have listed all the way around the building here today are areas of prayer that will release the kingdom and the power of God in a wonderful way to us. In this manner, pray. And in the Lord's Prayer mentioned in Luke, our quote is from Matthew, but Luke 11:2 reads, Jesus said to them, when you pray, say. He's saying specifically, this is a directive. I'd like you to pray this way. I want to say this is a quote by one of my favorite theologians. A breakthrough in praying obediently is exhilarating. That's me. I said that. I thought it was profound. A breakthrough in praying obediently is absolutely exhilarating. Remember the disciples had a breakthrough in praying obediently? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was laboring in prayer? And remember what he said to them when he came back to where they were and they were sleeping? Remember what he said? Couldn't you pray for an hour? Could you not tarry 1 hour? And they said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Another directive. Could you not tarry 1 hour? And I thought to myself, four major prayer meetings, five counting the one before church on Sundays in the prayer room. But we have four of our joint fellowship groups are specifically for prayer. But you know what? My heart is so filled with gladness and excitement today, because today we're going to respond to Jesus when he asks us that question, could you not tarry 1 hour? We're going to say, yeah, Lord, we can do it. We're going to pray together for an hour. Before you freak out about that idea, 30 minutes of it, at least 30 minutes of it, half of that time is going to be praise and worship. And 15 minutes of that is already over. And I think that's biblical because, Jesus starts with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is praise and worship. And he ends with, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in... Whoops, I'm skipping. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Sorry about that. That's praise and worship. It begins with praise and worship, ends with praise and worship. Praise and worship is twice as long as everything else in the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to do that too. We're going to have the sandwich. We've had the first slice of bread. Now we're going to have the great, whatever your favorite deli meat and stuff is on your sandwich. We're going to have that in the middle. Then we're going to have another piece of bread at the end, which is praise and worship. Hey, why not have lots of praise and worship on Palm Sunday? Though globally the church is doing that. Historically the church is doing that. There's a great big hooray in my heart. Great big hilarious hooray. Why have a meeting? Why have a meeting when you can have a party? The disciples learned to pray. They had a breakthrough in prayer, not in the Garden of Gethsemane, but after they hung out with the resurrected Jesus for 40 days. You know, says, what's it say? Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. These all continued, right before that, I didn't write it down, but it lists by name the 11 disciples. They don't have 12 anymore because Judas jumped ship. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They all continued. Would you say, agree with me, after the resurrection factor, they had a breakthrough in prayer, which included the women. They joined, had the women join them. Something about the resurrection Christ is a great equalizer. There's no hierarchy as in the first century where men were really cool and women were kind of like, as Aristotle wrote, women are God's mistake in the making of a man. Now, Aristotle, it's just stuck in my brain because it was such a stupid comment. But the presence of the resurrected Christ is the great liberator and freer and equalizer amongst the genders and men and women, age, the age factor, ethnicity. We are all equal at the foot of the cross in the resurrected Jesus. So and you know what else it says? The brothers of Jesus were there. Last time we were here about the brothers of Jesus, they wanted to commit him to institution. He's gone crazy, they said. Something about seeing your brother dead, seeing him wrapped in 100 pounds of embalming spices. You ever seen a dead body? Sure, yeah. Most of us have. Wrapped in embalming spices, mummified, in the grave, 3 days, and then seeing him alive again in resurrected power, breathing, eating, talking to you, walking through walls, supernaturally, without breaking the wall down, this gets one's attention. So all the half-brothers of Jesus were there, same mother, different father, including the writer of the book of James, half-brother of Jesus. And instead of saying he's crazy, the book of James says, James, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Paul says, he appeared to James. That would get one's attention. Something about the resurrected Christ propels one into prayer, breakthrough, and it still does. Resurrected Jesus still. You get a revelation of the resurrected Jesus Christ, bam. You can't keep away from praise and prayer. And God's given that to us. These guys go from, kid you not, tarry 1 hour hearing those words to devoting themselves to prayer, and then later on the whole church is doing that because of the splash effect. When leadership is on fire for prayer, there's a splash effect. The anointing and inspiration goes on to everybody else. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to it. Man, they had a prayer breakthrough in the resurrected presence of Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There was a jet stream ease to the whole scene. Hallelujah. There's been prophetic word over one of the things that God has highlighted for me as I'm praying in the 40 days before Easter, spending more time in prayer, is a prophetic word that my daughter Sarah released over New Song Church in the year 2000. And I've been praying over it, thinking about it. God's highlighted it for me. And I began to, this intercession anointing that a lot of the, what she prophesied has happened. I'll make that available to you guys soon if anybody wants to see that word. But especially, I've been feeling like, you know what? There's some of this stuff that hasn't happened yet. And I've been going after it with great joy. And I would include you in it. And especially this part on prayer. And I asked my granddaughter, Abby, 12 years old, this morning. It's in the early evening in England right now. She lives about an hour south of London. It's her mom and dad and brother. Some of you know her as a prophetic pastoral ministry that she, on my assignment, has about three times a month sends prophetic pictures to people to encourage, inspire, and bless them. A little prayer clause to people. There's a pastor in California that told Brenda this last week that the little prayer cloth that Abby and her parents prayed over for her, for healing, for cancer for her, which went into remission, by the way. I say healing. Jesus, I think we can agree for healing. But she says she puts that little prayer cloth on her heart every single night before she goes to sleep, and it's been over a year. Well, Abby's going to join us for video, and I want you, she says it kind of, it's, every word has meaning. So listen carefully to this prophetic word and see if the Holy Spirit doesn't highlight certain things for you and stir you up about this part of Sarah's prophecy in the year 2000 about prayer. Listen carefully.
God is going to bring an increase in this area of prayer, and he's going to increase the number of people who have a hunger to pray. I see prayer meetings that are full. God is also going to bring an increase in the level of fervency and anointing on your prayers as you come together and pray. He's going to give you a heart to pray in, and his glory and power and an amazing tangible sense of his presence at Nisong. As you come together, you'll be really stirred up to pray for this, and he will give you an anointing to pray for it, and a great faith in your prayer. And as you pray, you will know it is making a difference in the spiritual realm. As you pray, it will be like you are pulling down his glory. It will be like you're moving things out of the way and making way for his glory to come. You'll have a sense of birthing it in each time you pray together. It's going to be amazing, and your prayers will be answered. God is going to visit New Song in an unprecedented way, and all that you ache and yearn for and want to see will happen and take place. God is going to bring an increase in this area of prayer, and okay. He's going to...
So that is the daughter of my daughter Sarah. And let's give a clap and a cheer for that, because you know what? That's the word of the Lord. It's happened to some degree, but the Holy Spirit is breathing life on a new generation for this. That's why I had Abby do it. Because I wanted a 12-year-old to declare this over us. And I believe that there is an atmosphere-changing prophetic declaration over us. And it behooves us to obey. Respond to it. Not a legalistic, oh my goodness, law. But no, we have a great joy in corresponding our lives to the prophetic word spoken over us individually and over our as a church family. Amen? Amen. So, pray obediently. My next talking point is pray expectantly. When I was first saved, first time I ever fasted, second time I ever fasted, it was a three-day fast. I stayed at my a pastor friend's house, a revivalist pastor. They were going to be out of town. I house-sit for them. And I did a lot of praying in their living room. On their wall was this phrase. And you know, once in a while we'll say, you know, prayer isn't about getting what we want. Prayer changes us. I have a one-word response to that. Baloney. Prayer changes things. In the Bible, it never once says the only purpose for prayer is so you'll be changed because you'll be in the presence of God. Now, that happens, but that's not what it's about. Can you imagine a dad or a mom asking, mom and dad sitting there, little six-year-old son or daughter and daughter, seven-year-old daughter down in front of them before Christmas and say, honey, darlings, give us your Christmas list. We'll write them down. What all the things you'd like to maybe get for Christmas. Tell us. And then they'd say all the things that they'd like. And then the mom and dad say, well, I just want to tell you, this has been a really awesome experience to the intimate friendship with you and feel so close to you, having you share what you want. We're not going to get you any of these things. But the moment, this has been for you and for us. It's been special. Okay, go outside and play. That's how ludicrous this whole idea is. Prayer changes things in the Bible. My son David and I did some soul winning yesterday. And we prayed for a guy who said who was a backslidden believer at a parking lot nearby here. He's out of gas. And he's confessed to us he is a heroin addict. 35 years old or so, heroin addict. And we prayed for him. The Spirit of God came. And God gave me some words of knowledge for him about some heart-stabbing pains. And he says, not physical, but I have these heart-stabbing pains emotionally. And I said, is it related to unforgiveness with your mom and dad? He said, my dad. So I led him in a declaring prayer for forgiving his dad. Then David comes on the scene and prays that God will provide gas, because he doesn't have any gas, for him to move on. And we're talking with him. You know what weird thing happened? Within 2 minutes, someone pulls up with a gas can that had seen him at the same spot yesterday, and God put up on their heart to bring him some gas today. Within 2 minutes of David praying that prayer. Prayer changes things. Turn to the person next to you and say, prayer changes things. His response over and over again is, that's wicked. That's crazy. That's a theological statement by James. That's wicked. That's crazy. There was a powerful anointing of our Father on him. And our prayer, our declaration is God will give him a breakthrough in his the addicting behaviors in his life and give him that sort of inner healing that will bless him fully so that he doesn't have to anesthetize or medicate the heart pain, but Jesus will actually heal it. We didn't have rationally a lot of faith that God was going to bring gas for this guy, even though David prayed 2 minutes earlier. But in the anointing of the Spirit, there's always an anointing of faith, isn't there? You could say, well, do I have faith for this? Well, not in my mind, but man, in the Spirit, something's going to happen as a result of this prayer. We felt it. There was an authority on it. Charles Finney once went to church on a Sunday morning in a place where there was drought. And he said when he got up that morning, he made this declaration, God's going to send rain today. There was not a cloud in the sky, but he felt it in the Spirit. So he went and he preached a great message. People got saved. He said, I believe if we pray, God's going to send rain today. They prayed and all of a sudden on the tin roof of the church, they started hearing the raindrops. And the significant thing about the eyewitness account of that was someone noted as a downpour hit after months of drought that there was an umbrella leaning against the pulpit that Charles had brought to church that day. He prayed, what? Expectantly. My son, John, had a powerful experience of prayer just the other day. I lost Brenda's keys to her car, the second, the backup. I can't find them. Must not have enough faith. But then Brenda lost the primary set. We spent about 4 hours, fussing and kicking and screaming and spitting and praying. Couldn't find those keys. We went out to dinner with some folks and came back, and, well, John emailed this to us, picture. Found your keys. When I got home, he said, you know, he said, I prayed, and I felt, in my words, an anointing of faith that I was going to find them. I know you guys have looked, but I felt, and God was even going to go back in time and fix things so that they were lost, that they got lost in such a way that I now would find them. Even if, because we said we looked everywhere through the whole house, spent 2 hours. He said, I prayed and I felt like God showed me I'm going to find them. And then, you know what? I felt like even if it meant God was going to go back in time because of my prayer and change things so that they would suddenly appear where they weren't before, where you guys had looked. He said, within about 60 seconds, I saw him on the couch, top of the couch. And he sent us a picture. Place of expectation in the anointing of the Spirit. Jesus Christ, not Kenneth Hagin, not Kenneth Copeland, Jesus Christ said these, whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Whatever you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. And then again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Do you agree on earth? And I know someone will say, well, I prayed for stuff and it hasn't happened. I prayed I would catch one of those 1-pounders at the lake, and I haven't even caught anything at the lake, not let alone a 1-pounder. I pray, and you know what? I love what God told John Wimber after he prayed for a whole year for people to be healed at his church, and there was not one healing Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And John Wimber said, man, what is going on here? And God said, are you going to preach your experience, or are you going to preach the Word of God? And he made a determination, I'm going to preach and declare the Word of God. They had a breakthrough, and a healing revival broke out that has influenced millions and millions of people globally to have faith for healing. Thirdly, lastly, pray not just obediently, not just expectantly, but pray intelligently. We're going to do a prayer stations in just a moment. We're going to have a station, Our Father. And in the series that we preached, Our Father gives you a connection with a dad who is fully, infinitely, lovingly affectionate for you. No matter what your earthly dad may or may not have been like, your dad in heaven wants to impart Abba Father anointing of love. I want you during the few minutes you might spend under that banner to thank God for stuff and praise Him for stuff, for being such a great dad. And Sherry and Jenny will be over there for anyone that would like to be prayed for an anointing of the Spirit, an increased revelation of God as dad to you. They'll impart that to you under that banner in just a few moments. Come kingdom of God, come will of God. That's the second part of our second station over here. Those of you that were here will remember that in the Greek, it's not an appeal, a begging. It is a authoritative declaration. You can say over America, over our president, over the state of Oregon, over your family, over a specific person in your family. Say you have someone in your family named Joe that needs a breakthrough in his money, in his finances. You can go over there and you can say, God, you guys listening to me? Still listening? Yeah, just check. You don't want me talking to myself up here. Father, concerning Joe and his money, Come, kingdom of God. Come, will of God. As it is in heaven, the perfection and wonder and provision of heaven. Let it be on earth in Joe's life concerning his money. That's an authoritative prayer declaration. That's just an example. So I hope you'll spend some time under that banner. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day the bread of tomorrow, the Greek reads. We talked about that. We're reaching into the provision of tomorrow. My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Where is the provision of God? Not just related to your earthly labors. I know diligent hands brings wealth. There's a principle there. Work smart, work hard, you'll be blessed. But there's also a place because of prayer of reaching into the eternal future and the infinite provision of the heaven realm and bringing it into the moment and say, give us this day the bread of tomorrow in the name of Jesus. Forgive us our debts. Application, obvious. As we forgive our debtors, you can spend some time declaring people over people. Frank, say you have someone named Frank. God, Frank owes me nothing. I will no longer punish Frank in my heart. As you gave me the free gift of forgiveness, I give Frank the free gift of forgiveness. He doesn't deserve it. I give it to him freely. As we forgive those, and name some people. Remember the tune-up on the car. Some of us need to spend some time not just on changing the tires, not just on keeping it gassed up, oil change. Change that air filter too once in a while. Declare forgiveness over people. Lead us not into temptation. Brian Paul did an amazing job on that. I want to clarify one thing in the Greek language. When it says lead us not into temptation, consider this area right up here, temptation. Okay? When we pray, lead us not into temptation, it's not that, oh God, please don't lead me into this area of temptation. Don't have to pray that because God doesn't ever lead you into temptation, the Bible says. Brian Paul brought that out clearly. What it's saying is, in the Greek, is God, lead me away from that area of temptation. And I'll tell you where that area is. That area is in the anointing of the Spirit. And a basic philosophy of life should be for us, sow to the Spirit and forgive the rest. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We're dead to sin, alive to God. Let's have our lives correspond to that anointing of the Spirit. John Wesley in the First Great Awakening said it should be like breathing to us. We breathe in the resurrected presence of Jesus Christ with every breath. And we breathe out love to God and love to other people. And faith in God, faith to God through the course of our life. It's like breathing. He also said in that it's like a house. Repentance is the front porch. The front door is faith. And the house is the fullness of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's go in the house and stay there. Okay. And then praise. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Spend some time praising and worshiping God. We're going to do this two ways. We're going to spend 15 minutes with some music playing, some worship going. You don't have to go through the stations in order. Some of you can do that, but the idea is to just start somewhere and to go to the ones, you might not even get to all of them this time, but go to the ones you feel especially like you'd like to spend some time under. Go to that banner, believe God for it, pray in your own way as the music's going. 15 minutes of that, and then we're going to have a part two of it, which will be just as potent, just as powerful. Remember, pray expectantly, pray obediently, pray expectantly. And what was my third talking point? Pray intelligently. We understand what this means now. Can you not tarry 1 hour? New Song Church says, yeah, we can do that. We'll worship half of it, and we'll petition God in stations for half of it. 15 minutes of this right now. Let's go after it with faith. Thank you. Lock the door so no one can leave the building.
You're lifting my Lord. You're lifting my Lord. Your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places. Your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places.
Let's find our seats once again, and we'll go for part two of this prayer time. You're doing a great job, such an anointing of intercession. Remember, as we're praying expectantly, God's intention is to say yes to our prayers. We're calling on Him. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience. Beautiful thing what you're doing right now. Joining us from home, you just keep in the Spirit and praying at home too. I want to go after this amen factor that Jeremiah preached so well about last week. Remember, God The Lord's Prayer ends with amen. And I love that line that Jeremiah anchored in Holy Scripture. That line that says God is saying amen to our amen. An amen in the Hebrew, it's not a Greek word. It appears many times in the Greek New Testament, but it's a transliteration of the Hebrew letters, Hebrew word. It's Greek spelling of the Hebrew word amen or amen. And it's laced. The word amen is laced with believing and faith, and it's the etymology and background of the word. And as Earl Palmer, a New Testament theologian, has said, amen is like saying rock or fortress to something. When you say amen. And you know that amen isn't just for the amen section of the church. And it's not for Pentecostals or very vocal Baptists that would just want to say amen. You know the Apostle Paul, when he betrays it almost incidentally when he says, almost by accident, he says, if everybody's speaking in tongues all at once, how can we all say amen? What's something you can derive from that is that everybody was wanting to say amen. The whole church was wanting to say amen. Does our whole church want to say amen? Rock, fortress, let it be. Bring it on. And when we say that, God comes flooding into that and says, I say amen to your amen. And he partners with us to see the kingdom come in what we're saying amen about. So what we're going to do right now for the next last 15 minutes, we're going to do lots and lots and lots of 30-second prayers that we can all amen. This is a together prayer factor. Jesus said, ask, could you not tarry 1 hour? New Song Church says, amen, yes we can, and we shall. For this next 50 minutes, we're going to go after prayers related to our Father. Prayers like, and I want you just to come and line up, and I don't want anyone to take over 30 seconds. If I move towards you and tap you on the shoulder, don't keep praying under, because the Holy Spirit told you got to keep praying. Just move on, come back, get in line again, and pray, finish it next time. Or if you have 2 minutes to pray, a prayer to pray, pray them in 4 30-second segments. We're going to go through the 7 stations, 2 minutes at a time. So that's 14 minutes of amen. But we're going to have to, it's going to be active. And I really want participation because I don't want to be the only one praying. But this, so line up here if you're willing to say something related to our Father. I want to say, our Father, in the name of Jesus, hallowed be your name. And I praise you for the wonders of you giving us revelation of yourself as Dad.
Father, you are the wonderful Father. And we pray for all of those in our midst that have father wounds because of their earthly father. We pray deliverance and healing, and that they invite you into that place and you heal that father wound because you are the loving Father.
Holy Father, you're the only Father that I've really ever known that I can trust. I can trust with all my love, all my beliefs. You are the answers of my prayer. You gave your Son for my life, that I'll have eternal life. All the days of my life, I'll have joy through prayer to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. We say amen to you being our Father. You can be the Father to us you want to be. We say amen to the revelation breaking in, interrupting, intervening in our thought process, in our speaking process, in our living process to your Father, your fatherhood over us, and our sons respond in saying amen to you being our Father.
Father God, your kingdom come. your will be done in our lives. Shake those things off that we don't need. Shake the devil off our back so we can dance.
Father God, we just thank you for the mediator in Jesus. Father, we just thank you that we can also just get up on your lap, Lord God, that you would dissolve the limitations that man has put on us, that we'd only have your limitations.
We're going to go 2 minutes on Come Kingdom of God. Come Kingdom of God. Come Will of God. As in heaven, so let it be on earth. I want to pray that for revival in the United States of America. Come Kingdom of God. Come Will of God. As it is in heaven, so let it be on earth all across America. In Jesus Christ's name, bring on revival. Let it spread.
Thank you. Amen, Father. Abba, Daddy, Lord, Father, thank you in your name. Lord, your kingdom, the kingdom of God we look for, your kingdom. We thank you for the gifts that you have given your body. We thank you, O Father, in your kingdom, for the prophetic words spoken over this church by Pastor Dan's granddaughter. We say amen to your kingdom. That this will come in Jesus' name.
Oh, we thank you, Father, this morning that we can lay everything and anything at the feet of Jesus. We thank you that you're a good, good Father and that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that we can't pray for and rejoice knowing that you hear our prayers and that you take care of us every day. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. Amen.
I hear the Father saying, enjoy yourself in me. Revel in my goodness. Relish in the adventure of walking with me. Savor every moment with me. Delight in my unconditional love. Become like a little child in a candy shop with me. That is his kingdom.
We say, come kingdom in our legislations. We say, come kingdom of God in our schools, in the hearts of your children, that they be redeemed back to your purposes. We say, come kingdom of God in our families and in our cities. May the glory of God fill this land. May he be lifted up high. As he's lifted up high, he draws all men unto him. We say, come kingdom God according to your purposes and desires.
Come kingdom of God for the healing of addiction. Come kingdom of God for the healing of despair. Come healing of God, because in heaven there is none of this. Therefore on earth there shall be none of this. Come kingdom of God, heal the brokenhearted. Heal all of those that feel unworthy. Heal all those that are addicted. Heal all those that are hurting right now in the name of Jesus. Come kingdom of God, for it is not in heaven, therefore it will not be on earth. Come kingdom of God.
We're switching to give us today our daily bread, or as the Greek reads, give us this day the bread of tomorrow. So let's spend 2 minutes focusing that arena of a first. Father, we pray, give us today the bread of tomorrow in our personal family finances. Each one, each business, each wage earner, each person, God, our declaration for provision out of your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, provide for us today the bread of tomorrow in Jesus' name.
Come, river of God, bring drink to the scorched places of the earth, the places where there's hunger and war and brokenness. Lord, to those places where there's refugees on earth,
squalor, living in squalor. Bring your bread of life to them, your bread of today and tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus, that you care for the poor and anyone who you give them their food in due time. Amen.
Lord, I just pray for my neighbors, the people on either side of me and back of me, in front of me, Lord. Be the bread of life, Lord, in my neighborhood today, Lord. To the people that need healing, Lord, be the bread of life. To the people that need encouragement, be the bread of life. To the angry, be the bread of life, Lord, and particularly to that one person that was so angry at the posters that we put up for our Bible study that he tore them up twice and then complained about us. I just lift him up to you, Lord, and ask you to invade his home today with a loaf of bread and tell him that you're the bread of life, Lord, so he can know you. And I ask in Jesus' name.
Lord, today, give us this day our daily bread of your will done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen. And we're declaring that that the churches are feeding on your goodness and your awesomeness in such a way that it's manifest to the world, the dying, hurting, broken world. May they feed on the goodness and the awesomeness of God just like us.
So, Father, I just reiterate, give us our daily bread of your will done in our lives, because we have something to bring to the world to show that your kingdom is alive and well. God, you live through us to show that your kingdom is alive and well. So show us what your will is for us daily so that we can contribute. We can be a part of that and feed into that. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, that we can have no fear of the future, because you will provide. The same as you do today, you provide for us in the future. Thank you, Lord.
Give us this day our daily bread, the bread of tomorrow. And forgive us our debts. Us. I'm not asking people to come up and confessing your own personal sins, but I want us to ask God's Holy Spirit to reveal the sins of the church in America. And let's ask God, and let's ask God to forgive us as a whole blood-bought people in America. Can we do it that way? Let's have 2 minutes of that. If you have a prayer that way, I want to say, God, forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are our debtors. As a people, please forgive us for making prayer incidental instead of primary.
Forgive us for thinking of church as a big box building. Lord, forgive us for getting distracted as a church in America by the things of this world and losing sight of what the church is, the body, the whole. Lord, forgive us for institutionalizing church and not living as a body. In Jesus' name.
Father, we know in this fallen world there's a lot of hurt and a lot of disappointment, a lot of heartache. And Father, people can choose to either get bitter or they can get better. And Father, help people to not get bitter. We pray for them. We ask you forgive them. When they are disappointed, when hard things happen, that they let their hearts get hard. And it's a terrible way to live. So forgive them and help them, and we pray for our church. People will forgive, not hold grudges, and that they will be free. Freedom, Lord.
Lord, we have piled debt upon debt upon debt upon debt upon debt, and then we have pointed our fingers and said, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And Lord, we need forgiveness for that. That's bloodshed of the mouth.
that we have committed as a church, and we ask you to forgive us for that bloodshed of the mouth in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord, we ask you to forgive us for abusing and killing our children, Lord. Lord, we haven't taught our teenagers to love, Lord God, and respect. Lord God, and we killed our babies, Lord. And we wonder why the next generations are growing up so lost, Lord. I just ask you to forgive me, Lord God. I stand in place of my nation, Lord God, and ask you to forgive me, Lord, for killing my babies, Lord God, and for abusing my children. Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. We receive your forgiveness now. In Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, forgive us as parents for leaving the teaching of our children to others, to schools, to institutions, even to the church. God, oh God, we repent of this as God's people. We turn from it and we declare a whole new way for generations of grandparents and parents to teach and bend and encourage and bless and lift up their own children.
Father, forgive us as a church for the sins we're not aware of, for the ones we commit and we haven't learned yet that they're even there. Give us eyes to see where we need you in our hearts even more, and give us the courage to admit we're wrong and that we can do more, because that power in us is greater than we give it credit for. You in us, the hope of glory, forgive us for not seeing that more.
Father, forgive the American church for over intellectualizing you out of your own church.
And I plan to not over intellectualize you in my study groups anymore, because I just want to feel you, and I think that's what this church, the American church, needs to do.
As we forgive those that trespass against us, O God, as we forgive those and lead us away from temptation, we declare over all of us, O God, and the church all across America, that we would go, we would not let theology or bad theology or any other hindrance keep us from going fully into the experience of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. We want to go in that front door of that house, God, through repentance, and on the front porch through faith into the house of your Spirit, and stay there and live and breathe the resurrection power of Jesus. Breathe it in, the resurrection power of Jesus, and breathe out faith to you and love to you, O God, as a life and lifestyle. We want to be the kind of people, O God, who sow to the Spirit and forgive the rest all day long. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You guys are doing very, very good. There's a huge potency in this together prayer today. Marvelous. Now this is Palm Sunday, so the children have some palm leaves. They're plastic, but you know, they're close enough. And if you feel like you'd like to go around with them, you can stand, you can sit, but our last 15 minutes, Jesus said, could you not tarry 1 hour? And New Song Church says, yes. Amen. We can tarry 1 hour. Our last 15 minutes is praise and worship. It's Palm Sunday. We're joining all the church in heaven, praising God, and all the church all across the globe today on this Palm Sunday, welcoming Jesus to our personal Jerusalem with praise. And if we don't praise, Jesus said the rocks themselves will cry out. So let's align ourselves with the will of the King in praising Him on this day with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength with our last 15 minutes together today. If you feel like joining the kids as they march around with the palm leaves and you want to put down your sport jacket or something like they did, you know, on that day. You know, let's go after this. Let's praise Him for 15 minutes as we conclude today.
I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh, I exalt Thee.
Lord, a clap and a cheer. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, King Jesus. You're awesome. Lord of Lords, there is some 10,000, the rose of the spirit, the Alpha and Omega, the good shepherd, the lover of my soul, prophet, priest, and king forever, our best friend. You're our Father, O King. Love you. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead and have a seat. Jeannie Tribble and her Word of Knowledge team is going to come up. I want to just remind the Word of Knowledge team that we need to keep the words of knowledge very, very brief. We want to have some altar time for anybody that the Holy Spirit wants to heal you today. If you have any kind of physical ailment or need a miracle in some area of your life, these words will highlight a few things, but anyone else as well is totally There's such an atmosphere of worship and anointing for miracles here today. So let's jump in the water while it's being stirred. It's amazing stirring here.
The retina of the eye receives impulses that are transmitted to the brain through the optic nerve. Someone's having vision difficulties because the optic nerve is not functioning properly. And it may be a couple of children. So if you have a child with that, please go get them. Somebody else has a problem here on your right side. I saw a dark, I don't know if it's a large ulcer tumor. I don't know what it is. And then hepatitis C. God's able.
I just want to pray for if you don't know how God speaks to you, I just want to pray to you about that, and I just want to pray for him to soften your heart and to know his voice.
Jesus Christ breaks the chains and removes the shackles. If you have something you want to be set free from today, I'd like to pray with you.
Hey, I believe this is specifically for someone who is very ill and very desperate for healing, and that you're looking to get a healing in another state or perhaps south of the border. You're believing some kind of treatment is there for you, but I want to say it's here right now today for you to be healed in Jesus' name.
Faith. If you need more faith, come get prayer, please.
I'm hearing the words reconciliation and restoration. In Malachi, it says that the Holy Spirit is coming and he has healing in his wings. It also says that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, a reconciliation produced by repentance. And so today, if any of you have unsaved loved ones, or you have people that may be away from God in your family, I ask you to come up and let me pray for you. Let's stand in the gap for our unsaved loved ones or for those that are away from God, because God has given us the ministry of reconciliation and restoration.
And anything else you might like prayer for? Let's stand up. If you're a visitor today, this was ordained of God that this was your day to have this prayer connection. So may God's favor be on you. Don't forget, we have a present for you in the lobby. Welcome table. Everybody put your hands on your hearts. We say our Father, and we say our Father. We say we and us. Thank you for being such a great, amazing dad and revealing yourself and your will and your kingdom ways to us, giving us purpose in life, giving us vigor and energy and vision, oh God, for our life, so that every day matters, every day counts. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you giving us an anointing of faith to live out a life of faith and love to you and others. And we breathe in, God, the resurrection power of Jesus through our day. And we breathe out love and faith to you through our day. And we live our life that way, because that's the stuff of the kingdom. Thank you for this amazing time right now. And the 100% yes, you are saying amen to our amen today. We praise you for saying amen to our amen in our prayers today. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and bless you. And everybody said, amen. Thanks again for being with us. Have a super week in every way. Amen.